What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the next episode of the Big Orange Buzz Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Fletcher, and today we got some recapping to go over this past week of basketball. We got some games coming up ahead with the basketball team, and then this week, baseball is starting back up, so we'll get to talk about that a little bit too. There's really not been a whole lot of new news around the football team and around the investigation in the court and all that good stuff. So whenever we get to more of a, more of a point where it seems like we know what's going on, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But we're going to get right into the ball games and kind of discuss what went on this past week with basketball. So Tennessee came off of two games, had a home win against LSU, and then a road loss against A&M, where they just completely just sucked. Just got to call it what it is. They sucked. But you're going to have games like that in the SEC. So before we get into anything crazy, I just need to say something. If you know someone that's a Tennessee fan that's overreacting or just being super irrational about the loss after the A&M game, I understand, because it was an ugly loss. It's never a game that you want to lose. When you go into a game, that you perfectly able to win and you're flat out the better team statistically, you've had a tough MO, so a team like Texas A&M that plays tough basketball, you should be able to match up against. But people have got to realize, this fan base has got to realize, that it does not really matter at the end of the day. Sometimes the losses can actually do more good, because you can learn, you can correct mistakes. So my advice would be just to be patient, because there's going to be days like that. There's going to be days where, your team is just not shooting well, and then the other team just shoots the lights out. I mean, they were literally lights out. They could not miss in that first half. They started missing a little bit more in the second half, but they were still hitting their fair share. And when you get a team that's shooting the ball that well, there's just nothing you can do. Stuff like that is going to happen. It happens to everybody. The only team that type of stuff doesn't really happen to, and it's just because of their dominant nature, is South Carolina's women's basketball team. So if that's what you want to watch, you don't ever want to see a loss. You you don't really enjoy the game. You don't enjoy rooting for your team. You just want to, be with someone that's just going to win and be able to just relish in that fact. I suggest you go watch South Carolina women's hoops and stop supporting Tennessee, because this is a daggum good basketball team. They got everything in front of them. So while I understand it's disappointment, and I understand that you got to give them criticism for the game and for the performance that they had, because it was not up to their standards. You can't just throw them out the window and say, well, better luck next year. It's not how this works. So it's kind of the story of this week, was just getting out rebounded and other teams just being more aggressive than us on the boards, So that's, even in the win over LSU, that's something that was glaringly obvious in that second half against LSU, which, again, that kind of shows also at the same time, despite the struggles, Tennessee was still able to win by 20 points over LSU. Ended up closing out that one, and they defeated LSU 88-68. So you swing and you lose by nearly 20 at A&M, but you also got a victory over a team by 20 at home. So that shows you right there how tough it's been for teams to play on the road, because, there's a lot of teams that's really been struggling. It could be worse. We could be like Kentucky and not even be able to win at home. So, be glad that they're road losses against tough teams. So, but yeah, Tennessee, they've just really struggled on the boards, been out-rebounded both games, and it's becoming an issue, and it's pretty obvious at this point that the bigs have not been playing up to their standard, which is odd, because, like Jonas Adu started out the year so great. He's shown how good he can be, and, there was talks, people talking about, when they're talking about his game, talking about how he is playing himself into a, an NBA draft situation, and he's not one that maybe was high up on people's draft boards, and he's kind of playing himself out of it now, but he's got the potential. If he can just figure out how to iron those kinks out and be more consistent, he'll be fine. It's just nothing has looked completely fluid and sound. Tennessee's just got to get everybody going at the same time. and that's been the issue with them so far. But they still came away with a victory on Wednesday against LSU. It was a fun one to watch. Kinect did his thing. Everybody kind of contributed a little bit, but Kinect was super impressive. Zakai Ziegler was super impressive. And everybody just kind of played together. But the biggest one for me was one that came off the bench was Jordan Ganey. If he can give us that consistent type of play, that's going to really help out once you get into March and you got to be a little bit deeper. You can bring Jordan Ganey in for more minutes than maybe what you're used to bringing him in. But again, being out rebounded, you never want to, that doesn't need to happen. And Rick Barnes, I know, is not going to be happy about that. So that's something that's got to be fixed immediately. It can't wait, can't beat around the bush. It's something that needs to be addressed. It needs to be fixed now going forward because it was a problem in both games. So, there's not really much to say about the LSU game. It was one that Tennessee expected to win at home. It was sloppy. They need to improve on some certain things from it, but a win's a win. The A&M game, it was just not so great all around. Your points leader was Dalton Kinect with 22. Zakai Ziegler had 15. Outside of that, there just wasn't a whole lot of help. Everybody contributed a little bit. Jemai Meshack had some decent defense, but there was times where he got blew by. Jordan Ganey got blown by. Tobey Awaka, just not very valuable minutes. Jonas Ayidu, not very valuable minutes. It's just, you can't have that. And as a matter of fact, this should tell you a lot right here. Jonas Ayidu played for 20 minutes. Tobey Awaka played for 12. So that tells you for at least 8 minutes of that game, Tennessee was playing small with a small part of their lineup. And that's not something that you'll see super, super often. And I definitely don't think that's a good idea or a good look against Texas A&M. But what are you supposed to do when you're consistently just getting out-rebounded and your bigs aren't contributing at all? It's, you want to get your best shooters out there. So, I don't know. To me, it seemed like Barnes was trying to kind of put all the cards on the table and just leave it at that by putting in a small lineup at the end. Kinect got a few buckets there at the end, a couple good threes, trying to get the team back in it, but just wasn't enough. Shots weren't falling enough, and quite frankly, A&M's were just falling too much at a high clip. A&M finished 11 of 28 on the three-point attempts, and the first half gave a lot of those. Taylor. Taylor finished the first half, I believe, 5 of 7 three-point attempts. It's unheard of for A&M to be like that. It is unheard of, and I want you to hear me say that. It is unheard of. They're not known for their three-point shot, but all of a sudden it comes out of nowhere, and that's college basketball. You just don't know what's going to happen. You may have your head coach run out in the half court and no technical fouls caught on him, even though he could have seriously hurt somebody. I don't know. That's Texas A&M basketball. It's confusing. But one thing I do know is that they're coming to Knoxville in a few weeks, so we will see them again on our turf, and I'm sure that things will go a lot differently then. Tennessee will have a better game plan for them at that point. You look at, two really good teams, Alabama and Auburn. They each have split a series, 1-1 and 1 on their home courts. So it happens a lot of times with college basketball, especially when teams kind of have a similar MO and are very evenly matched, I would say. It's one that Tennessee needs to sweep under the rug and move past because it's a performance that they can get better from, learn from. But at the end of the day, it would have been hard to beat anybody when they're shooting like that. It's just tough. Tennessee would have had to play a nearly perfect game. But the effort on the board and rebounding has got to be better. So, it was bad. Man, it was bad. And that's fine. Again, it's fine to criticize that part of it without, shooting the whole team and saying, your season's over. It's over. You stand no chance because they could very well heat up as they move into March. You got to be patient with them. So I suggest if you can't, you might not want to watch college basketball because that's the story of the game right there. It is what it is. So you got to move on to the next. So this week, Tennessee has a pretty easy slate. They're going on the road to Arkansas. Arkansas, everybody knows, has had their fair share of struggles this season. They're still a very talented team. You know, they can make things happen if they need to. They're definitely going to be a lot tougher at home, and that's going to be the road game for Tennessee this week. But with just all the controversy with Arkansas and with Tennessee probably having a fire lit under them after that loss, I would expect Tennessee to go in there and take care of business. Obviously, the stats are all going to be aligned with Tennessee, and Tennessee has a Dalton Connect, and I expect him to probably play a bigger part in this game. Probably try to get him more involved early, but I just hope that, you know, maybe he cuts back a little bit on these midnight shooting sessions and maybe gets a little bit more rest this week, because you could just tell in the A&M game he was wore out, as were a lot of the other guys too. So, you know, I hope everybody just gets rested up and has that fire and they're ready to go Wednesday. But I do expect Tennessee to win that one pretty easily. I mean, I'm sure it won't be like a blowout, but I'm sure Tennessee will come away with a victory there. And then you got Vanderbilt coming to your turf in Knoxville, and that's one that's, boy, if you lose that game, that's not going to be good. Vanderbilt is 6-17 on the year. It's just, it feels like that's not real. But, you know, it couldn't happen to a more deserving program. Can't stand Jerry Stackhouse. I think he's a prick, and Vanderbilt's a bunch of nerds. So, but I will say this. If you're a brain surgeon and you're operating on my brain, please forget that I just said that and ixnay that out of your memory banks. But yeah, other than that, they're a bunch of nerds and they're going to lose. It's not going to be close. I don't think in Knoxville it's going to be close. You already beat them on their turf. Vanderbilt's got nothing to play for at this point. It's going to get ugly for them. But yeah, it's, you know, two very winnable games, and I expect Tennessee to come away with a victory on both of those. I really just need to just keep winning going forward and just build some momentum as we move closer and closer to March. So we got 5 more games until it's March. And then you got 3 more games in the regular season before you move into SEC conference or tournament play. And then you got obviously the tournament and seeing where you end up getting seeded. So, you know, now, again, people act like the season's over and the sky's falling, but Tennessee is still, at this point in time, they're playing for a 2 seed in the tournament. It's way too soon to start, you know, panicking with this team, and just everybody just needs to relax, just pump the brakes a little bit. So, all right, so getting into Tennessee baseball coming up this week. We've got a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday game against Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and Baylor. So a bunch of Big 12 games coming up. Should be a pretty exciting matchup for Tennessee to kind of just gauge where they're at, because you got 3 pretty talented baseball teams. You know, they're definitely – it's games that you want to win and you want to start out on the right foot. But more than anything, I think you just want to see – the different lineups and kind of, I guess, who's compatible with one another. Because you don't want to move in a, you know, get closer and closer to conference play and still be, you know, monkeying around with your lineup and not really know who your best guys or, you know, best order is and all that good stuff. So I think right now it's just going to be, you know, play with your lineup a little bit. Do your best to win some ball games. If you don't win, it's not the end of the world. You know, you definitely want to win, but it's, you know, you just want to kind of gauge where you're at. And really, for this team, is see if they are ahead of where they were at this point in the season last year. It seems like Tennessee kind of entered the season last year thinking that maybe they were being handed something on a platter. And y'all saw what happened. You know, got off to a rough start, ended up 5-15 in SEC conference play before they really turned it around. And before they finally, you know, got it together and made the College World Series run. And you know, it's one of those things you got to play right at the right time. But you do want to start out on the right foot and build some confidence too. So, my hopes is just to learn a little bit more about, you know, who's going to give you the best bats, who's going to, you know, be, what orders are going to be correct, what arms are going to be able to stay out there for the longest, and what order do you want to roll those guys out. I'm expecting kind of a rotation at some positions, but I do expect certain positions to be locked in. There's a couple that I think will be kind of rotating in and out a little bit. I guess we'll start with talking about the outfield a little bit. The outfield, I think, is kind of a done deal. You could see Dalton Bargo sliding in some of those spots to maybe play a little bit more out there. Dalton Bargo is going to be kind of a utility guy, so it wouldn't surprise me to see him maybe DHing. It wouldn't surprise me to, you know, see him be a pinch hitter if Tennessee gets off to a sluggish start or something along those lines. But my expectation would be at least game one for Kaveris Tierras to be out in right field, Hunter Ensley to be in center field, and Dylan Dreiling to be out in the left field. Three really good bats, especially Dreiling and Kaveris Tierras. Really strong guys, just built like brick houses. And then Ensley is kind of that, you know, steady Eddie. He's going to give you a good couple bats. He may not be your biggest power threat. He does have some power to his bat when he wants it, but he's just a steady Eddie. He'll, you know, get the ball in play. He's pretty quick, so he's a good one in the lineup. I don't know where those guys are going to fall at in the lineup, because you've got a couple other power hitters too that could be batting up front. But anywhere they're placed, I think, is going to be okay. Moving down to the infield, I think the catcher position, it's going to be kind of a roll between Cal Stark and Cannon Peebles. Personally, I'm really excited to see Cannon Peebles play. I think that he's probably going to end up earning more of the time at catcher as the season progresses, just kind of because he's got a better bat, I think. But Cal, he may even be better behind the plate. Cal may have an advantage as a catcher, as a pure catcher, whereas Peebs is going to be hard to keep him out just because he's got a really good bat. So I expect them to kind of roll out. No idea who's going to start in game one. I would lean towards maybe Cannon Peebles just because of his big bat. But, you know, that may be one that they save until, you know, a later day, Saturday or Sunday, to really bring him out. And he could always DH. I wouldn't expect that, but, you know, you just don't know. So I would think Peeps, but it could be him or Stark. First base is 1,000% going to be Blake Burke. There's no if, and, or buts about it. He's either going to be in the three hole or the four spot behind the three hole. So he's going to be, you know, aimed up for a big power bat. And hopefully we'll see a couple more Burke bombs coming our way. Second base, I'm expecting Christian Moore to play there. But that's kind of a weird spot, so we'll come right back to that. Third base, for sure, is going to be Billy Amick. It seems like Zane Denton may not even be with the team at this point. It's kind of unclear what's going on. I'm sure we'll learn more about that as the, you know, days come. If Zane Denton does end up being there, I still don't think he's going to be a starter. I just don't see how he's going to really make a case to be starting in this lineup right now. It's too stacked. But if he did come back, you know, he'd be a good depth piece. But ultimately for him, I just want what's best for him. So I expect Billy Amick. No idea what's going on with Denton, but I don't really expect him to be there. I think maybe he's trying to, you know, move into a new chapter of his life, but not really sure. But Billy Amick, he's going to be a good bat, and he will be locked in at third base for sure. This is where it gets kind of tricky with Christian Moore, is that he has spent some time practicing at shortstop. I think the most sound shortstop that Tennessee wants is Ariel Antigua, but he is dealing with a hand injury, and he's likely to miss somewhere between 2 to 6 weeks, I believe. So, you know, hopefully he recovers quickly and he's able to get there and, you know, get out playing a little bit sooner rather than later. But ultimately, we just want him to be healthy and, you know, be good to go when it comes time to kick off conference play in Tuscaloosa. But, you know, we'll see what happens with him. But it sounds like Christian Moore could be going there. It just depends on which way they want to swing it. They may move him around a little bit. They may have Christian Moore playing in at shortstop maybe one game, and then maybe have Dean Curley playing at shortstop one game. You know, the thing is, if Christian Moore is not playing at second, I'm not 100% sure who's going to roll right in and play second, because I don't think you have as much depth there. But I would expect, based on my understanding, I would expect Christian Moore at second base mostly, and probably Dean Curley at shortstop, unless it's just bad and things get hairy. But I think that they're excited about what they've seen from Dean Curley as well at shortstop is what it seems. Maybe not the biggest bat in the world, but he's definitely, he's quick, he's agile, so he can fill in until Ariel Antigua gets back. And Ariel Antigua is very quick, very fast, and he's got a big bat. So be huge when Antigua gets back in the lineup. But for now, we're going to make do. So I think that's your lineup. And I think one way or another, those guys will be out there in rotation. I think DH could go a lot of ways. I think you could go Dalton Bargo. I think you could go Robin Villeneuve, the Canadian transfer. I think you could go multiple directions. There's just no telling. So I almost don't even want to predict it. You could have some catchers going in there. Stone Lawless has a big bat. He's a freshman catcher that's just come in. So I really don't know which way they're going to swing that one. Some pinch hitters could be some guys like maybe Ethan Payne, maybe Reese Chapman. Reese Chapman's got a big old bat, and he's a he's a fiery guy, so you could see him maybe get in there. And if Kavarius Tears maybe is struggling, or maybe they'll rotate those guys out, different games and stuff like that, but he could be a pinch hitter as well. It's purely going to be situational with the PHs, so we're just going to have to wait and see on that one. But ultimately, I think this lineup is going to be good. I think it's going to be solid and should see a lot of action. But they are playing up, it's not like they're playing just a bunch of pushovers. They're playing some talented Big 12 competition. So we'll see what happens. But I expect good things from them. Pitching-wise, it could be interesting to see which way they roll. Drew Beam is expected, I believe, to be starting on Friday. I mean, I have no confirmation over that. That's just what I would think. Because it seems like, I don't know, it just seems like Drew Beam he's going to be the veteran, obviously, in that pitching room. So you would think you'd have your veteran come out and kind of set the tone. But at the same time, you may have a guy like Drew Beam where he's used to playing on Sundays. You may have him close out with a strong finish. But, it wouldn't surprise me if they did that. But I would expect him to come out Friday and just kind of make a statement saying, this is our veteran pitcher. He's going to be starting Friday, and if they maybe don't like what they see from him on a Friday, then maybe he goes back to Sunday after that. But I expect him to do just fine, no matter where they put him. But I would expect him Friday. Saturday starter, I'd expect A.J. Russell most likely. He's a younger guy he's not played a lot, but it's starting to get to the point where he's going to have to pick up that time. With Chase Burns leaving, it kind of puts some guys out there that maybe wouldn't have been out there before. So I do expect A.J. Russell to probably get out there on Saturday. And then Sunday, if they plan on putting Beam at Friday like I'm expecting, I would expect my top two. This is where it gets tricky because I don't really know which way they're going to roll with it. You've got a guy that's got a lot of experience in the program, and he's been there for a while, was Xander Sechrist. He's just a kind of a reliable arm. He's not the best pitcher in the world by any means, but he's solid. Not the fastest, but he's got some good stuff. So you could see a guy like that that's been here and been around, kind of a maybe give you a calm presence on the mound to close out a series. You may see them roll that way, but you could also see them roll with somebody like Nate Snead that's come in via the transfer portal. And, things that they're able to do with guys out of the transfer portal has been huge. And, Chase Dolander came from, I believe it was Georgia State that he came from. They saw him playing and just couldn't pass him up. But, Nate Snead he throws gas. He's got multiple pitches he can mix in there. But it seems like he's really settled in the last couple of weeks. Whereas when he first got on campus, I think it was a little bit of a struggle. Kind of a little bit of an adjustment for him, from what I've read and understand. So I would expect Drew Beam, A.J. Russell, and I would say Xander Sechrist, but it wouldn't shock me if they did Nate Snead either. And you got lots of talented relievers behind them as well. There's no telling what they're going to end up rolling with when it actually gets closer to conference play and things like that. But I really think, especially with their relievers, I think they're going to roll a lot of people out there just to, you know, get bodies out there, get people involved, kind of assess where they're at with their arms coming out of the bullpen. So it's all going to be almost like a, I don't want to say a quiz, because it's, I mean, they know where they're at to a certain extent, but it's almost going to be like a test in the sense of, like, we know where we're at right now against each other, but we need to see where we stack up against some good competition. So I think they'll probably play with a couple different lineups, some different arms coming out of the bullpen, and something to get a good gauge of where they're at. You definitely won't see somebody throwing for, you know, Drew Beam's not going to go out there and throw a full game. It's stuff like that's not going to happen. You're going to see probably some pinch hitters come in at different moments and things like that. And the cool thing is that they've got a deep enough team to where they can do that and not have to, you know, face such a huge trade-off. Because in most cases, you know, let's say Kaferis Tears is out there starting in right field, you pinch hit Reese Chapman, it's, you know, you're not, there's not a huge drop-off in talent there. He's somebody that can swing the bat just as well. So it's they're in a good spot, and they're, you know, going to be eager to get out there and play and win some games. But I'm super excited to watch them. So we'll see what happens with the basketball team, see where they end up going. Got to get better on the boards, got to get better rebounding, just get more consistent play from guys like Adu. And I think hopefully this will be a good opportunity for him to clean some of that stuff up against two opponents that really are beatable, and you should beat them. And then you got baseball starting this weekend. So there's just a lot going on, and it's a great time. So, you know, if you haven't, I would encourage you to start watching baseball this season, because you'd be coming on at the right time. They could use your support, and it's, you know, if you don't, you're going to wish you did one day, because baseball is, it's, the college baseball is growing in popularity, it seems, year after year. And that, you know, that 2021 team was very special. So, you know, it just, it goes to show you, you never know where it's going to take you. And, you know, I started watching baseball a few years ago in the college ranks when it was really becoming more accessible. And I got to say, I'm glad that I did. Because, like I've said before on here, I think Tony Vitello may actually be my favorite head coach at Tennessee right now, which is, you know, it's saying a lot, because I loved everybody else too. But, yeah, it's a good time. So if you don't have a huge busy week planned, you got something going on now. You know, as of now, you got stuff to do. So I encourage y'all to keep up with it and, you know, just stay tuned with everything. I appreciate you guys tuning into this episode. If you have, if you haven't ever listened before, then this is kind of the format we do. We break down games. We preview the next ones to come. And any fun and exciting news, we'll get in there and talk about as well. Appreciate you guys listening to this one. We'll catch you guys on the next one. If you want to, you can follow me on Instagram at Big Orange Buzz. Twitter will be at Big Orange Buzz _. You can shoot me a message, talk about the podcast, sports, whatever. But until then, we will see you guys next time. Kind of recap what went on this past week and what is coming in the week to come. I appreciate you listening, and we'll see you guys next time. And as always, go Vols.